Praise God. Thank you, Bob. Thank you. Wasn't that awesome? Yeah, they did a great job. Wonderful, wonderful. Praise the Lord. Woo! Telling you what. Hallelujah. Good, good. Praise God. Kids are heading down. Teachers. Father, we thank you for our children. They are precious. I thank you, Father, what you're depositing in them today, besides the sugar. But I thank you, Father, that they're going to hear your word again. And I thank you, Father, it is producing mighty kids upon the earth. I thank you for the teachers. I thank you for your peace and all that goes on down there to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, how many of you enjoy the Christmas holidays? Just a couple of you. I like it because red's my favorite color, and man, ta-da, so we're going to do red. Okay, how many of you have finished your shopping? How many of you are bolting out of here right afterwards to go shopping? Yeah, somebody posted, you know, these are the very special 2 days before Christmas where all men go shopping. Yeah, so my Jack would go shopping Christmas Eve. And it was a rite of passage for a child to be picked to go with him. Sherry did really good. I got what I wanted. But I'll tell you what, Christmas Eve, are you kidding me? But we'll pray for all of you that still have shopping. Father, I thank you that you lead them, they guide them. I thank you, Father, that they will remember the words that were spoken on the things that they wanted. Everybody wanted. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. But seriously, let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning. We are thankful. We are so thankful for Jesus, the Prince of Peace. We are so thankful that he has come, that he came and he did a great work for us, and he's now seated in the heavenlies. We thank you so much. We thank you that because of that, it is well with our soul. And everybody said, amen. It is well with our soul. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, would you open up to Luke chapter 2? We're going to start in verse 8. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Praise God. If you don't, raise your hand. We got Bibles. We'll give you a Bible. You can have a Bible. You can write in the Bible. We'll give you a Bible. Okay? Bibles are good. Amen. Here we go. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, how many of you like the good suddenlies? I like good ones, yeah. I've had some, like suddenly the check engine light went on my car this morning on the way to work. So Jim, I will ask to say what's going on here, okay? But the good suddenlies, ready? Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news. That wasn't Fox News, Channel 7 news. It was good news, right? I bring you good news, amen? I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. Praise God. Isn't that good? So I got to thinking about that phrase, the Savior is born. The Savior is born. Everybody say that. We've sang a couple songs about it too, but the Savior's born, and I'm like, okay, what's the significance about that announcement? What is so special about that announcement? So I did a little Google. Hey, Google, how many babies are born a day? Over 200,000 babies are born a day. But what's so significant about that baby announcement? Huh? Do you ever just, come on, go with me, go with me. What is so significant about that? Did you notice it said, the Savior was born. The Savior. It didn't say a Savior. It said the Savior. So what's the significance about that announcement? And what is so significant about that announcement in my life, in your life? How about in our daily life? So everybody say, the Savior is born. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to highlight just a couple of things that I believe makes that very significant, like very significant. So if you're taking notes, you can start by writing this down. Ready? Because the Savior is born, our sins are forgiven. Woo! We could go home on that, right? Because the Savior is born, our sins are forgiven. So if you open up to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah is halfway in the Old Testament, okay, in case you're new, or else you cheat and you go in the front and you go, what page is on? 585. But open up to Isaiah chapter 1. And we're talking about what is so significant about the Savior is born, all right? So Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18 says, though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them white as snow. So what he's really saying is, the ugly stain of sin, I'm going to take that off of you. I'm going to take that off of your soul. What he's saying is God has removed the stain of sin, and actually some of the consequences, the guilt and the shame that goes with sin, he says, I'll remove that. That's good news. Anybody? Yeah, that is really good news. Okay, now the rest of the verse, let's read that. Though they, he's talking about sin, are red like crimson, I will make them as white as snow. In other words, he's saying, Jesus did what you and I could not do, right? Jesus did what you and I could not do. Jesus paid for our sins, and not only did he pay for our sins, he said everything that's associated with sin, just the guilt and the shame, he says, I'm going to wipe them white as snow. That is just such good news. It's such good news, all right? Now turn over, would you, to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. This is the Apostle Paul who writes this. And man, he knew about sin. Anybody else know about sin? Okay, so this is the Apostle Paul, and he's writing just some really profound words. He kind of gets it. He says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you cannot take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Everybody say a gift. Yeah, I like gifts, okay? Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast. So if you were to take those two scriptures and just smush them together, what he's saying is salvation's a gift. Salvation's a gift, and you can't do anything good enough or bad enough for it. It is a gift. Praise God, it's a gift, and it is the greatest gift. It is the gift that Jesus came, the gift Jesus, came to the earth for you and for me, and he would take our sins and just wipe them away. Praise God. So when the angel declared, I bring you good news, he wasn't kidding. He was like, man, I have good news. The Savior is born. That is good news. Praise God. So number one, the Savior is born is good news because our sins are removed. Praise God. If you're taking notes, this is number two. If you're writing this down, write this down. The Savior is born, and we are not defined by our past. Because the Savior is born, you and I are not defined by our past. I'm like, woohoo! And some of you, I know your past, so you should be going, woohoo! I am so glad! Because the Savior's born, I'm not defined. Okay, open up to Isaiah again, Isaiah chapter 44. We're going to read verse 22, Isaiah 44:22. It says, I have, guess what? That is past tense. I have done something already. It's done. So I have swept away your sins like a cloud. I have scattered your offenses like the morning mist. Oh, return to me, for I have paid the price to set you free. Wow. So that part where it says, oh, return to me, That's God talking. That's his cry. That's his invitation to everybody. Hey, welcome home. Come on home because I've paid the price. I've swept your sins away. That is absolutely wonderful. Now, flip over to New Testament. Turn over to Romans. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. And a lot of you know this. But the Bible says we were all born sinners. We were all born into sin. Now, I kind of don't like that, but you got to hang on to the rest of it. It says this, ready? For all, that means everyone, has sinned. We have all fallen short of the glorious standard of God. But because the Savior is born today, God is saying, I have taken care of all your mess ups. I have taken care of all your mistakes. I have wiped out all your sins. I have forgiven them. And not just the sins against you, but the sins you're just cooking up, you know, that are going to blow up in your face. I have taken them away. So according to the scriptures, God says, I have removed your sins. I have wiped them out. I have removed all the shame in your life, all the guilt in your life, because the Savior's born. And that's why it's called good news. The Savior's born. Now, the bottom part of that verse says, I have swept away your sins like a cloud. Okay, I have swept away your sins like a cloud. So it's not the things that I have done, he swept it away. The things that the guilt says I am, he swept that away. And that is such good news. And what that tells me is now I am free. And who the Son has set free is free indeed, because the Savior's born. So I was kind of thinking of an illustration about that verse, I have swept away your sins like a cloud. And they're going to pop a picture up there. I was thinking about that. Now, last week we had a few good days of rain, didn't we? We had rain. We had dreary days. You know, I was walking out of the office around 1 o'clock, and it was just dark and dreary. So I was thinking about that, and I thought, man, has anybody had a day like that? I mean, not just the clouds because the sun couldn't shine, but how about you've had a day like that in your life? Anybody have a day like that in your life where it is just kind of dark and dreary, all right? But then, all of you smarter than a fifth grader, you grab your Bible, right? You grab your Bible, you get into the Word of God, and you start, you're reminding yourself of the promises of God. You start, maybe you throw on a worship CD, and you start worshiping like we did today, just worshiping Jesus because he is the Savior and all that he's done. And then you start, oh my gosh, I just start encouraging myself. Like, girl, you're looking good. Girl, you're a child of God. Hey, girl, you can do anything through Jesus Christ. Hey, that's called lifting the cloud off. And the Bible, it's almost like he just the wind of the Holy Spirit moves through you and pushes that off, because he will strengthen you and he will just do all the promises he said. So isn't it good that the Savior's born? It is so good that the Savior's born. Praise God. Now, we're in Isaiah. Just go back one chapter and look at Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. Praise God, praise God. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25. I alone, he's talking about God. I alone will blot your sins for my own sake. For my own sake. So what he's saying here, for my own sake, listen, for God so loved the world. He loved you and I that he would remove our sins. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. And you know why he did that? I was thinking on that the other day, and I was sitting on my sofa just thinking about the Savior is born and why God loves so much that he gave Jesus to take away our sins. And I just started crying. And I thought, Lord, you know, sometimes we have motives. Anybody have motives? I call it plans within plans. Sometimes those are really nice and other times they're just totally selfish. But God's motive, his only motive for sending Jesus to remove our sin was the motive of love. He just flat out loves you. That was his motive for doing this and removing your sins. And the other reason is because he wanted you in a relationship with him. He wanted you to be able to come into his presence. He wanted to be able to call you a child of God. So isn't it wonderful that the Savior is born? Amen? Praise God. Did we read our scripture? Not all of it. The last part. Let's go read the last part. Sorry, let's start again. I alone will blot out your sins for my own sake, and I will never think of them again. Everybody say never. I will never, ever, never, ever, ever, God is saying, I will never, ever, ever think of your sins again. That is good. Somebody else might be thinking of them. And you know, I really thought about that, and I thought, okay, if God said he would blot out our sins and never, ever, ever think of them again, then why do we grab hold of them? Why do we grab hold of them and just, you know, press the rewind play button, all right? And give the memory of all my muff-ups power to control how I feel? Why do we do that? If God said, I will never, 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 ever again remember your sins. Oh, gosh, I love our God. All right. So, yes, I alone will blot out your sins for my own sake. I will never, ever think of them again. Tell the person next to you, he's not thinking about it no more. So stop thinking about your own, okay? Just say, to heck with it, all right? Praise God. Praise God. All right, if you're taking notes, here's number three. Because the Savior is born, we can live a blessed life. Woohoo! Because the Savior is born, we can live a blessed life. Now, if you don't want to live a blessed life, gee whiz, I'm praying for you. But I want to live a blessed life. And John 10:10, y'all know that. John 10:10 says, I have come that they, that means you and I have come that you and I may have life. Everybody say life. That life is a blessed life, an abundant life, an overflowing life. And if you love the Amplified, it just piles it all in there. So that's telling us that I can have a blessed life. I can have a blessed life. Praise God. I can have a blessed life. Now, let me just be really clear. A blessed life doesn't mean it's void of conflict, trouble, junk. All right? It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean. What it means is that in the middle of having conflict and troubles and blow-ups and crazies, that you and I can have the power of the Holy Spirit in us that will help us overcome the troubles, the blow-ups, and everything horrible that goes on some days. Praise God. So no matter what you walked into today, no matter what happened yesterday, you have a Savior. His name is Jesus, and he's for you, not against you. Praise the Lord. And he's with us, and he says, I have a good plan for you. I've got good purposes for you. Praise God, no evil ones. So guess what? That kind of sounds like a blessed life. Praise the Lord. I love it. I love it. I love that he's my Savior and does that. This is like, it. You know, when you have a blessed life, it doesn't mean it's always easy. It doesn't mean it's always a bowl full of cherries and roses and all that great stuff, okay? But, so let me explain. Open up to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 28. The angel said to her, to Mary, so the angel's telling Mary, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Everybody see the word blessed in there? Everybody see the word highly favored in there? Okay, now, if you follow Mary's life, she got rejected. She was ridiculed. She had a kind of be removed from her family, all right? And that's because not everybody believed her story that she was telling her about the angel coming to her and saying, woohoo, you're going to conceive and have the Son of God, all right? So it's interesting. People, not everybody believed her story. They're like, sure, whatever. As a matter of fact, her husband, or they would say she was a spouse to him, he didn't even believe her story in the beginning, right? Even though she told him, he didn't believe the story until an angel came to him, all right? And yet the Bible says Mary was blessed and highly favored, right? And then later on, her son, he gets crucified. And he's condemned and put to death for a crime he didn't commit, right? And yet the Bible says what? Mary is blessed and highly favored, okay? So if you're taking notes, this is the post-it note for the week. Ready? Your circumstances. Mary had some circumstances. Your circumstances will never change the fact that you are blessed and highly favored of God. You are blessed and highly favored of God, right? God has already said that about your life. You are blessed, and you've got favor galore. My favor on your life, okay? Praise God. So, regardless of what you're in the middle of, you are blessed. Now, not blessed that you got a problem going on, but blessed because the Savior is born, and he has taken your sins, and he's come, and he's given you life. So you are blessed. Praise the Lord. That's the good news. And, you know, when I think about that, that's me going, I am blessed. I am blessed. I just got that pink letter in the mail. I don't care. I am blessed. I am a child of God. Favor goes before me and surrounds me. I thank you, Father. I'm going to get ahead and preach the rest of my message. Okay, hang on. So, here we go. Let's do number four. You ready for the next one? Because the Savior is born, God makes a way when there seems to be no way. Everybody say, no way. You have some of those days where, you know, you're just penned in. You go, man, there's no way. So let me share this with you. So after that angel appears to Mary and gives her that announcement, okay, Joseph has discovered what his wife or a spouse wife, and back then if you put the ring on the finger, you were almost married except for you didn't hop in the sack, okay? You were married. That's how they looked at you, okay? So he's just discovered this Mary, who he's going to marry, is pregnant, and how many of you guys would have been a little miffed? Bunch of liars. So I would have been like, what? Gosh. Okay. Now, Joseph has to make a choice. He has to make a choice right there, right? He's supposed to be marrying Mary. He finds out she's pregnant, and he wasn't intimate with her. So he's like, man, I got to make a choice, man. I got to make a choice. Option number one, I can put her away publicly announce this divorce. I am publicly announcing a divorce with this woman. But the only problem about that is they would stone you to death if you were the woman that they announced that you got pregnant without being married. Okay? So that was option number one, publicly announcing this. And option number two, he was going to do it quietly. Like, let's just scoot her out the back door and move her over to Kansas. Nobody will know, right? Okay, so those are the two options that he's got going on here. But here's the point. Joseph had an option number three. The problem was he didn't know about it. So he had an option. He did. He had a third option. And really, he didn't really like the first two options. He really didn't want to do that. But anyway, let me give you the third option. You have to open up to Matthew chapter 1, verse 19. Matthew chapter 1, verse 19. This is the third option. God opens his eyes and shows him the way. Right? Here we go. Matthew 1, 19. Joseph, to whom was engaged, was a righteous man. He was a good man, right? He didn't want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, which he didn't do, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Woo! So, what do we get out of this? Just when you are ready to give up, just when you are ready to throw in the towel, how about you let God show up? How about you let God show up? And listen, I have cried out. I have gone through option 1, 2, 3, 4. And then I'm going, God, I need the way. And you know what? I have watched God show up in my life. What do we call that? The 11th hour, right? That's like the 11th hour, okay? And he shows up, and you know what he does? He always points you up, so you stop going, wah. He always points you up. And you know, come on. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'm with you always. I have deposited my life, my anointing, my spirit inside of you. God will show up. God will show up. And you know what I like about God? He likes to not only show up, but he likes to show off. All right? Where's Dolores? Dolores, okay, I was going to tell this. Dolores came in the office this past week, and she was just telling a wind story of God showing up. She was packing up little Isaac, okay, it's the Bible guy. Okay, her little grandson, 19 months, cutest little pumpkin, okay? So she's putting him in the car seat, and she put her purse on top of the car because she's getting this kid all strapped in, and she drives away. Anybody ever do that? My husband did that, not with his purse, but with his wallet on multitude times, okay? So she calls Bob, or the rest of the story is that, you know, they pray, I need this purse. Yeah, ladies, you need the purse, right? And an hour later, somebody goes to your door. Go ahead, ring the doorbell. I love this. Yes. All right. I know. That was a God show up. I mean, so my option one is, okay, cancel all the credit cards. Option B is go order new credit cards. Option C, you know, I would be going through this. But, you know, God's got a way. God's got a way. And he really loves when you cry out to him and say, hey, God, I'm a blessed person. I've got your favor. I need you to give me the way and show up. So he did. Praise the Lord. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Okay, let's do number 5. Because the Savior is born, ready? We have peace in the midst of the storm. Anybody have a storm last week? Whew. Okay, not, what was that, Saturday night? What night did it, the Friday night, or it just rumbled through here. Okay, but I'm not talking about that. But anybody have a storm? Okay, turn over to Isaiah. We're back in Isaiah again. Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah 26. We can have peace in the midst of the storm, and I'm talking about a supernatural peace. Okay, a supernatural peace. Ready? Isaiah 26, verse 3. You will keep in peace, perfect peace, you will keep in perfect peace all who do what? Trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Okay. So what he's saying, if you are going to get your thoughts and your trust on him, he'll put you in perfect peace. Perfect peace. Okay, now, have you ever noticed the moment you get your mind off of Jesus that peace goes out the door? Have you ever noticed when your eyes are off of God's promises, it is like, where's the peace? Where I don't know where it is, okay? Have you ever noticed that when your eyes are on the circumstances, when your eyes are on the problems, guess what comes in? Just sits down on your lap is fear. Anybody ever have that? Just fear just sits down on your lap. And then stress just wraps its arms around you and say, baby, I'm here, okay? Yeah, so, but you know what I've learned? The Prince of Peace has come to live inside of me. Anybody else? The Prince of Peace has come to live inside of me, okay? And no matter what's going on, no matter what's going on in my circumstances, no matter what's going on in the world, and there's some goofy things. Man, did you watch the gold rates? They have just plummeted, and your stocks just followed afterwards, okay? But no matter what's going on, I will keep my eyes fixed on him, my trust in him, and I'm not going to grab hold of that fear. I'm going to push it off my lap and tell it to get out, okay? But it starts with, ready? All who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you, he will keep in perfect peace. Everybody say perfect peace. Perfect peace. I love perfect peace. So I just want to encourage you, we are about ready to go into 2019. How about if we focus on Jesus? How about you focus on Jesus, right? How about, listen, he is the author and the finisher of your faith. He is the author of your story. Matter of fact, the story that started ends so much better when you have Jesus, right? Some of you, I've known you 20, 30 years. Your story's looking so much better. So how about we just keep our eyes fixed on that? Okay, let me give you number 6. Oh, I'm going to get you out in time for cookies. Woo! Okay, here we go. Number 6, because the Savior is born, God does great things through imperfect people. Raise your hand if you're imperfect. I know the perfect one lives in me, but you hang out with me, you'll find out I'm a little imperfect, all right? I've hung out with some of you. You are very imperfect, okay? I like this, though. This is like God, because God, yeah, praise the Lord. Okay, God does great things through imperfect people. Just write this down, Matthew chapter 1. We're not going to read it because of time's sake. Plus, I can't pronounce half the names. But Matthew chapter 1 is the genealogy of Jesus Christ, right? Go look at it, okay? It's there, and it's actually like ancestry.com Jesus, right? It's his family tree. Now, if you ever read that and did a little study in that, his family tree was a little imperfect, quite imperfect. Couple prostitutes down the line, right? Some really evil kings, man, in his family tree, right? They were outlaws in his family tree. You know, we talk about nuts, fruits, and flakes. He had them in his family tree. And really what we saw in his family, they were very flawed people, right? They were very flawed people. And yet, despite of their flaws, God chose them. God used them. God used that prostitute. God used an evil king. God used, oh my gosh, he just used them to do what? Extraordinary things for God. God used them to do extraordinary things. So go, hey, God's going to use you. Oh, you're so enthusiastic. Listen, he uses imperfect people to do extraordinary things. And the thing that you think might be, oh, it's extraordinary to God. I was watching a YouTube thing. It was about a husband and wife, and they take children that are born with severe disabilities. And many times their life expectancy is a month. And I cried through the whole thing. This is like the third time. I don't know why I do. I just feel like crying and wiping my makeup off. But I'm watching that. And I just listening to this. It's a husband and wife, and they take these children. And they just love them. They pour love into them. And I thought, God, you have gifted her and anointed her to do something extraordinary. She said, I'd never want to know that a child died by itself. So that's why they take these children in. So I thought, you know, so the thing is just to other people, is she a millionaire? Did she invent the cure for this and that? No, but God anointed her, called her, gifted her. How about that? Sometimes I say anointed and you're like, ah! No, God gifted her and her husband to do something very extraordinary. And God's gifted you to do extraordinary things for him. Smile. Praise the Lord. All right, let me give you the last one. You ready? Here we go, the last one. What is so significant about the phrase, the Savior is born? Last one. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And your one of references, Nehemiah 8:10. The joy of the Lord is your strength, right? How many of you can sing the song? Okay, the joy of the Lord is strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Okay, so I just want to encourage you not to be tempted to just rely on your own strength. And I am a let's get it done now person. And most of the time that's my strength. And anybody that's doing it all the time in your strength, all the time in your strength, I will tell you real quick if it was the joy of the Lord and his strength by the look on your face. And I say sometimes, this is not a pretty look. Not a pretty look, right? All right. And Sherry will tell me something, Ma, watch your face. I was like, oh, okay. That's code name, like, you don't look too pretty, okay? And it's usually I'm just carrying things that I shouldn't be carrying. I'm trying to do things in my own strength. I'm trying to knock you out of the way so I get the thing done. Okay. I almost did that 2 weeks ago here, too. It was really sad. Okay, so if his mercies are new every morning and great is his faithfulness, you know, everybody hear that? You hear that? If his mercies are new every morning and great is his faithfulness, I think you should wake up with some joy. Woohoo! New mercies. I didn't get leftover mercies. Yes! Every day, this morning, before my feet hit the ground, before that light went off in my car, I should be out the door with joy. You should have joy, right? Come on, show me your joy. Gee whiz, okay. Pat, listen, every day is an opportunity for God to do a miracle in your life. So you should have joy, right? Well, Pastor D, you should have been around yesterday. Wait till tomorrow then, okay? Just wait till tomorrow. God, the joy of the Lord is his strength. He'll do great things. And you know, what's really interesting about this is that what I've discovered is that God likes to remind you that in your weakness, He is, okay, and you know what he's saying? You come to the end of your rope. I usually do that. I should have started, and you always know when he says, well, okay, let's pray. It's like the leftover thing. Oh, by the way, let's pray. As opposed to, God, I love the cry out first, okay? So you come to the end of your rope. Matter of fact, you come to the end of the rope, you tie it around yourself, put a knot on it, because I am going to do this in my own strength. And God whispers, let go, let go, let go. And you got that look, and Sherry's saying, look at the face, and you got the knot tied on, and God's going, let go, let go, let go. And you know, when you let go, Jesus said, unless you lose your life, you can't find his life. And his life is so good. It's a blessed life, right? So let go and fly. Now, I don't mean slap on some wings. Okay, but let go, when you let go, finally let go, in your own strength, your own ability, your own everything, and you start flying, that is when you give access to the Holy Spirit to come in, and his grace is what empowers you to do the things you cannot do. Okay, so I have, come to my house anytime, just make sure I'm there, but on the side of my refrigerator, I have a honey-do list. It's all the things that need to be fixed. And the top ones are the expensive ones, the small ones, the ones at the bottom are the less expensive. I also have started I can't do list with God. God, I can't do this. I am going to let go. And I've got a biggie on the top of this one. But I tell you what, I just started laughing at the list. I look at my list now and I laugh. I'm going, this is big. I just let go. God, you are going to somehow pull this off. I will do all that I'm supposed to do, but mostly I'm just going to let go. And I thank you, God. I got this joy. I look at this list. I actually have three big, big biggies. For me, some of you, you're like, no big deal. But for me, they are like the biggies. And I just have been fretting over them. I actually have been fearful of them, not happy face over them. And the Lord says, write them on the list on the side of the refrigerator. I said, okay, that's my famous honey-do list. God's my honey. He's going to do. All right? Okay? And now I have joy about it. And then, you know, every once in a while, nope. I have let go of this. God, I thank you. You love me. You have favor that goes before me. You're just going to just move on my behalf. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So everybody said, let go. Oh, you got to say it better than that. Oh, let go. Let go and fly. Hey, that's a t-shirt. Let go and fly. Only a Christian would know that. Okay, let go and fly. All right. So I want to just talk about let go and let God. Let go and let God. Let go and let God. I was I don't know where I was running around. I've been running around for 2 weeks here. And I saw this person, and they were just in a really sorry situation. You could tell by the way they were dressed. You could tell that their body was broken in pieces. And, you know, they just were struggling life. And I was like, oh, I am going to let go of me. And I am going to rely on Jehovah Rapha, the healer. And I'm going to go pray for that person. Because I am not the healer. And I used to freak out about praying for people. All right? Now, little things. But those big things, I just would go, oh. And the Lord says, well, are you the healer? I said, heck no. Nothing up the sleeves here, I'll tell you what. All right? And I had a joyous time praying for this person. And I believe that by the stripes of Jesus, he bore for them that they're the healed. Okay? I had a great time just praying with them. They just started to open up about their life, okay? So, how about you let go of yourself and just let God, just say, God, here am I, God. Use me. Here am I, God. Go show up. Go show big. Go show big. Praise God. Okay, I want to read one more scripture. It's actually the one we started with. So turn over back to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, we're going to just read verses 10 and 11. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. I am so glad to let go. I probably am going to have this silly grin on my face. If not, you can slap me and say, let go. Just let go and put that smile on your face. Ready? All right, so y'all at Luke chapter 2, here we go. The angel reassured them, don't be afraid. He's talking to the shepherds. The angel reassured them, don't be afraid. He said, by the way, I speak that over people here today. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Amen? I bring you good news. Woohoo! Good news that will bring great joy to all people. That's to you and to me. The Savior, not a Savior, but the Savior. The Savior who said, I am the way, the truth, the light. No one comes to the Father except through the Savior, right? Okay, the rest of it says, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. So I am thoroughly convinced that when I read that phrase, it has great significance. The Savior is born. I have great joy. I have great expectations. Amen? How about you? And listen, I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know where you are, but I'll tell you what. I know that the Savior was born 2,000 years ago, and he took your sins and wiped them clean. He gave you a blessed life. And he'll use you because you're just imperfect enough to be a candidate for him to move through you, right? He'll give you peace. Praise God. He'll just do all these great things because the Savior's born. Amen? So let's pray. Father, we just come to you again, thanking you, Father. Father, I did my best to just really make this clear, and I thank you, Father, that you have opened eyes and ears and just plopped it inside of us so well. And we thank you, we thank you, we thank you so much that this is not a Christmas, a religion. We thank you that this is all about your great love, desiring a relationship with us today and forever. We thank you. So I have just close your eyes, keep them shut, no walking around. We will have some very strong coffee in a few minutes and sugar. But I really, really seriously just want to ask you, you know, Christmas is so commercialized, right? Just crazy, you know, and I can get caught up in all of that stuff. But it's really about this Savior, the Savior that was born. And I want to ask, have you ever said, Jesus, I would like a relationship with you. I would like to have my sins washed away. I would like to have this life. I just want to ask, if you've never asked Jesus, you've never prayed that prayer, can I tell you, the Bible says anyone who calls on the name of Jesus, didn't mean you had to do anything, you just had to call on his name. He said, I will come and I will make my home inside of you and I will make you my child forever. So if you call on the name of the Lord, he said he'd save you. So if you're here today and you'd say, Pastor D, I have never prayed that prayer, but boy, it is what I need, then I'd like to pray with you. It's real simple. It's real simple. It's real simple, folks, to have Jesus in your life. It's simply you ask, and that's what he says. He says, and if you're feeling it now, I hate to say feel it, but he's knocking on your door. He won't barge in. You just have to ask, Jesus, come in. So how about we all pray this prayer out loud? And if you're praying this for the first time, just pray it from your heart. Just you know, open your heart. And maybe there's some of you here, you prayed that prayer. Pastor D, I prayed that prayer a long time ago. I was a little girl or a little guy here. But, you know, I've just kind of forgotten. I've put Jesus someplace else. Well, you pray that prayer and just jump back in. Jump back into the life that God has for you. So how about we all say this? Lord God, this day, this Sunday, hallelujah, I make a decision to follow you. And Jesus, I thank you that you died on a cross for my sins and you gave me life today. Thank you, Jesus, for my life, a new life. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, there's fireworks going off in heaven. The Bible says that all of heaven celebrates. They go crazy. They're like the winning football team is going ballistic because that's how precious you are. Anybody who receives Jesus, they're thrilled. And we are thrilled if you ask Jesus into your life. And I'd love if you come up to me afterwards. I got a little booklet for you. I'll give you a high five. If you're a hugger, I'll do the side thing or, you know, okay? But praise the Lord. Y'all are just so sweet, so sweet. If you prayed that prayer for the first time or it's been a long, long time, I'll just give you one thing you should do. Two things. Tell somebody I asked Jesus to be the Savior of my life. And two, I want to give you a Bible, start in the New Testament, and just find out about this great life that God has for you. Okay? So stand up, everybody. All those people that have red, you can go get cookies first. The rest of you, you go last. Hallelujah. No, you are the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. Blessed going in, blessed going out. Everything you set your hand to, you prosper in because you are a light to the world. Have a Merry Christmas. We love you. Enjoy some sugar. And if you'd like to come up for prayer, we're ready for you.